This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Little deep cut from Paul McCartney here. I'll put it on the Spotify playlist. I've been putting that up on the X, formerly Twitter, every night. I've been doing the playlist for the bumper music for a couple of years now, but I just started doing the Spotify playlist because the audience, ladies and gentlemen, they just demanded it. There were three people out there that thought it was a good idea, so I went with it. But it is kind of fun for me to do the music, and I put a lot of new music on there. And if you're ever curious about a song, you can always go to the list or to the Spotify playlist that I'll post at the end of the show. So we have Jennings coming up here. Scott Jennings will join us. We'll talk some national politics. We'll also talk about a controversy involving adult Easter bunnies that I'm very passionate about, and I know that Scott is as well. But let me address a couple of things here, and one is the topic we're going to talk about here in the next segment, which is kind of amazing. You have a bill in Colorado where misgendering your child could lose you custody. There's a bill that would make not using a child's preferred name or pronouns a factor in custody battles. It's kind of ridiculous, and we're going to talk about it here at the bottom of the hour with Colin Wright, who wrote about this in the Manhattan Institute. But when they were talking about this in the legislature in Colorado, so that you have someone who I'm guessing is a Republican, who maybe he's not even a Republican, but he starts to interject here with the bill's sponsors and says, look, I didn't really know much about that. He's answering questions. But listen to what the response is here.
We'd heard from multiple witnesses that this bill has been worked on for over a year. I will say I learned about this bill yesterday. It was introduced Friday evening. I really am curious about how much stakeholdering went on both sides of the issue. And if parent groups that are not a part of the LGBT community, if they were involved.
All right, so let's stop there with the question. It seems like a pretty basic question. He's saying, look, I didn't know much about this. I just read the bill. But I'm curious as to whether the stakeholders, like people who don't support this bill, all right, you have the Alphabet Mafia. Let me translate here a little bit. The Alphabet Mafia loves this bill, right? We know that you talked to them. Have you talked to any parents who don't love this bill? And listen to the way that they frame this.
Well-stakeholdered bill does not need to be discussed with hate groups. And we don't ask someone passing civil rights legislation to go ask the KKK their opinion.
But I agree. There's no reason to go to the table with people who are echoing the hateful rhetoric going around about the trans community.
So did you hear that? Do you know what they just said? They basically said that parents, if you're a parent in Colorado or wherever, and you're concerned about the trans nonsense and the social contagion and the mental illness that it has become, that you're a hate group. You're now a hate. It's unbelievable how crazy these people are. And I really deep down want to believe it's not all people on the left, but sometimes I wonder. And then let me kind of segue before we get to Scott here, and Ethan's going to get him on the line, to Liberation Day. I'm calling it Liberation Day for the city of St. Louis because it is Election Day, and it is looking very likely that Tashara is going to go down. She's going to probably drop the wig and blame racism and, you know, misogynistic behavior and all this other stuff. She'll never, ever accept responsibility for really tearing this city down. Now, I've made it very clear. I do not let the previous mayor off the hook. Lida Crewson was awful, just awful. And she came in a time in the aftermath of Mayor Slay where she really could have made a difference. She could have supported the police, but she was a coward, even though her own husband was murdered, which makes it even more despicable. But then Tashara's in office, and Cori Bush and Kim Gardner, the Wicked Witches, all come in. And the first thing, let's remind people, the first thing that they did, do you remember this? The very first weekend after they were all elected, they go to the workhouse. They go to the prisoners and the inmates. And that's, I mean, this set the tone for the entire administration. Let's not talk to the people who are victims of crime in the city of St. Louis. Let's talk to the criminals. Let's make them more comfortable. That's what this entire administration started on, and it never got any better because she never did anything. Well, that's, of course, because she's a black woman, and she's not given the freedom to make mistakes like Whitey. I cannot wait for these election results to come in tonight. I can't wait to see her reaction. I can't wait to see Virus Jones's reaction. I love that Jane Duker calls Virus her father, Virus. And let's just hope that Kara Spencer can do better. And let me address something there, because I've had many people on the ex-formerly Twitter say, yeah, you're trading one socialist for another. While that is true, and she is progressive, I just have to hope deep down that the basics can be attended to. Trash pickup, the streets, not having gates around City Hall and Pelker Park, getting more police present, actually supporting the police. Now, I can't be certain that Kara Spencer is going to do all these things. I do think she's smart. I think she is hyper-focused on St. Louis. I've mentioned this before. She was on the roundtable one time, and she was terrible because she didn't know anything about the national issues. Now, as mayor of St. Louis, maybe that's what you want, right? Someone who is a bit of a policy wonk. Am I under the, the impression that Kara Spencer is going to remarkably come into office and be this unbelievable leader that's going to turn the city of St. Louis around? I do not feel that way, but I'm going to root for her, and this is why. I don't think that there is a more important election, this is easy to say, I think we said it in the fall with Trump, than this one in St. Louis, because, and I think we're feeling pretty good, because if it went in the other direction, there would be no hope. No hope whatsoever for progress, for economic development, for successes in this city. We have some successes that are taking place, and some good things, but they're always hampered by the negative stuff that go on. And I would hope that Kara Spencer is going to go in there and not make excuses and show some leadership. Now, I've been told by people who know her that she's a bit of a micromanager. That will not work as mayor. But I just have to hope and pray that things are going to be a lot better under the next administration. But let's not count our chickens yet. You still have to go out and vote. We'll get the totals tonight. It is the city of St. Louis, so maybe we won't even have finals until tomorrow afternoon. I'm kind of kidding. You would think that this wouldn't take too much time because there's only several thousand votes. Nobody's going to vote in an election like this anyway. And best of luck to Donna Behringer, who's running against Darlene Green, and that would be a big victory as well. All right, Scott Jennings coming up here, but I have to go back to a CNN segment. We featured this during Cut of the Day yesterday because Jennings took a strong stand, and I support this on...
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Banning adult Easter bunnies.
The limit, okay.
Scott Jennings.
Major problem. Human-sized Easter bunnies.
Yeah.
It is the season. And look, I think if you want, they're demonic. And I know parents like to have their children photographed with these human-sized demonic Easter bunnies. I counsel against it. If you want to show them a regular-sized rabbit, fine. The Cadbury bunny is fine, and I'll even make an exemption for Playboy bunnies. But human-sized Easter bunnies, out. They're right out.
They're terrifying.
Terrible. You only have 2 weeks to make your plans. Easter's coming. Eliminate this from your photo regimen. Do not traumatize your children.
You absolutely no Playboy bunnies. Okay, I am sorry, but that is out. We're out.
I said exemption.
Yeah, I approve of the Playboy bunny carve-out. Scott Jennings with us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
I'm great. Greetings from your nation's capital today.
You know, I had to start with the Easter bunny stuff because I sent you this picture when my daughter was a year old. She sat on an adult-sized Easter bunny's lap, and it was horrifying. It's one of the funniest pictures that we've ever taken, really.
It literally makes no sense. Why would a rabbit be the size of a human? And it does. I mean, and why would that something the size of a human be laying eggs? Like, this makes no sense to me, and it's demonic. And so what I have called for is a complete and total ban on human-sized Easter bunnies. There's plenty of other normal-sized bunnies or useful bunnies that we can engage with, but that's not one of them.
Do you know, I don't even know if you know this about me, I sometimes keep it quiet. Do you know that I have a bunny, like a free-roaming bunny in my house here?
I did not know that, but see, that's fine.
Yeah.
I think that would be fine.
Oh, he's awesome. It's Oreo. He has his own Instagram page, Oreo Smorio the Bunny. Now, Jennings, where are you on, you know, inflatables?
Wait, like, does it go to the bathroom in a litter box or what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's totally litter trained. One rule I have, you can't poop or pee in my house with my animals. But yeah, he's totally litter trained. It's awesome. He's great. I've had him for
that's
a year.
Wild.
This weekend,
okay.
I've had him for a year, Jennings. I never thought I'd have a free roaming bunny. I really didn't, but I would highly recommend them. Now, where are you on the issue of inflatables, like Easter Bunny inflatables in front of people's houses?
We have inflatables for every holiday at Jennings household. So in front of my house right now, we actually have an inflatable chicken that has like Easter eggs on the top of it. A lot of our inflatables are chicken themed because of our chicken farming operation. So in this case, we went with Easter chicken.
I approve of that. All right, let's talk about something you said last night. Look, a lot of people are focusing on the markets right now.
I find it amusing that everybody talks about the 08 crash and the Coke. No one ever mentions that in 2022, you know, the S&P was down 20, the NASDAQ was down 33, and I don't remember any of these Democrats being in hysterics when the market fully crashed in 2022. So I think Republicans are content.
Well, how could you highlight more hypocrisy, Scott Jennings? That seems unfair.
Oh, and at the time, remember what they were all saying. Well, you know, the stock market doesn't represent the economy. The stock market isn't indicative of all the structural strength in our economy. That was the talking point at the time. Now, the market goes down for, you know, 30 minutes, and Democrats are out on television having a meltdown about how we're now in the next Great Depression. I mean, it really is hypocrisy. And you pile on top of that all these Dems who right now are talking about how bad tariffs are, and how it's terrible to raise taxes. Well, I'm sorry. Every single one of you voted against the corporate income tax rate cut. Every single one of you have been trying to raise corporate income taxes for years. Every single one of you have been desperate for tax increases until now when you're against tariffs. So that's why I proposed Trump saying that he should zero out the capital gains tax and maybe even cut in half the corporate income tax rate. You got these Democrats who've found all their low tax and free market bona fides, Mark. How about we put it to the test and see if they'll go along with us on it?
Well, I love that. But beyond that, who in the Democrat Party, and, you know, they were covered by the legacy media, unfortunately, was talking about the fact that everyone's taxes would go up under Kamala Harris. Everyone's taxes would have gone up because they would not have renewed the Trump tax cuts.
Yes, they were literally running on an increase in every single person that pays federal income tax would have seen a tax increase. And that was their plan. And they called it paying your fair share. That's what they called it. You pay your fair share. And so I really do think that's why Democrats are struggling to stick the landing on the tariff debate with Trump, because the hypocrisy is so obvious and it's so real. And I still think Trump has a lot of latitude from the American people to try to do something different, because the status quo just frankly wasn't working for a lot of Americans. They inherently and instinctively know that, and they trust Trump more than they trust Democrats on the issue.
So you're no doubt experiencing some things on the CNN set where you have people that will say, wait a second, he promised this to happen right away. I have friends that are texting me, you know, because they're in panic mode. I will admit that I'm a bit of a panickin, as Trump said, when it comes to the market, Scott, just because I've been uneasy about the economy overall. And by the way, I could take Trump out of the mix just based on the way that last year ended. So how do you see this tariff situation moving forward? Because it does seem like there's some mixed messages from the administration. Are they negotiation points? Are they permanent? Thoughts on that?
Well, I first of all, I think their best messenger is the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent. And I think above all others, he's the one I listen to. And what is he saying today? We've got 70 plus countries that are calling up desperate to talk to the United States about striking a deal. So that tells me there are negotiations underway. That includes countries like Japan and Vietnam, you know, big trading partners of ours. So that's number one. Number two, on the markets, you know, we have had market fluctuation over time. The market was due for a correction anyway. I think everybody acknowledges that. Yeah. Market goes up, market goes down. And so I think it's just folly to try to knee-jerk your, you know, fiscal policy based on a 1 week or a 1 day or even a 3 month period in the stock market. And what Trump is trying to do here is something broad, global, and structural about giving the United States better advantages when it comes to trading with these other countries. We'll see how it shakes out. You know, they got to chat with 70 plus countries, probably more by the time, you know, the afternoon gets out here. We'll see how it shakes out. Ultimately, the major message is we have to align ourselves against China. That's the true enemy. China's the enemy, and they've made a huge mistake, I think, by trying to engage with us on a trade war. And we need to get the rest of the world to, A, recognize that we'd like to be treated fairly, and B, we should all work together to stop the true enemy, which is China. That's where Bessent has been on it in his public messaging, and I think that's where the administration really ought to continue to be, because Americans instinctively know China's the bad guy. We need to align against China.
What do you make of the Peter Navarro, Elon Musk dust up?
Well, you know, I'm pro Elon. I love Elon. And I think Navarro actually said some things that were completely untrue about Teslas. He was talking about how they're made of all these foreign parts. Teslas are actually the most American made car. There was just a survey out on this where some publication looked at every component that goes into every car. The most American made car is Tesla. And so Navarro was completely wrong about that, and he insulted Elon and insulted the Teslas, and of course Elon struck back. So, I wish they wouldn't fight publicly, because I think it undermines the president. But in this case, I think Elon was right and Navarro was wrong.
Scott Jennings back with us this afternoon. So the president got a couple of victories here in court today, one on the deportation issue on the Alien Enemies Act. But now you have, you know, a lot of the MAGA crowd is very concerned about Amy Coney Barrett. She dissented in that case. What do you think about that?
I know. Look, and she dissented in a case earlier this year, and Trump actually came out and said, oh, she's a smart lady, and kind of defended her. And I'm going to defend her, too. I actually think this was a procedural case, and she had some, I think, procedural concerns about what was going on here. So I guess I don't share those concerns that she's some sort of secret lib or whatever. I still think Donald Trump made a great choice when he put her on the Supreme Court. And, you know, the thing about these justices is you hire them for these jobs to look at each individual case and look at the law and look at the Constitution. We shouldn't treat the conservative judges the way Democrats treat theirs. I mean, they put theirs on. I mean, those people don't read anything. I mean, they're there to vote a certain way, and they know what the job is. We put ours there to strictly adhere to the Constitution and use their best judgment. Occasionally, that means you're going to end up voting in a way that your own side doesn't like. So I'm not concerned about her, and I am happy that Trump won that case 5-4, and they can continue to use the Alien Enemies Act, which was creative and novel, and I'm glad they're going to keep using it.
Have you read or will you read the book Fight by Jonathan Allen and Artie Parnes?
So I've seen some of the excerpts and some of the discussions of it. I'll probably look at it, although, as I expressed on television on Saturday, you know, I do think it's amazing that some of the people who were, I think, sort of the worst offenders when it came to Joe Biden's incapacitation are now going to profit handsomely off of telling us how bad it really was. So that to me is a little bit distasteful. The one I'm actually really looking forward to reading is the book by my colleague at CNN, Jake Tapper, and Alex Thompson from Axios, who's also a CNN contributor. They've got a book coming out in May, and I think that's going to be the one to read because if you really look at it, Alex especially was probably one of the first Washington reporters to be on top of the story about the cover-up that was going on inside Joe Biden's White House. And so I think, to me, that's the one I'm looking forward to.
Well, and I'll give you that on Thompson. But, man, your colleague Jake Tapper was not quite in that camp.
Well, he I have to say, I'll defend Jake because I do think he asked some questions along the way and made some comments along the way that indicated he knew the score. But Alex, I think, was maybe the first reporter to break this story. I remember talking about his stories on the air in my own commentary, you know, saying, have you all read this guy, Alex Thompson? I mean, look at what he's got. And people just didn't want to believe it. And then I think he actually forced the rest of the press corps to pay attention to this vector. So I really do credit Alex a lot with, you know, whatever information we had on Joe Biden's decline and the ensuing cover-up. I think a lot of it is thanks and due to the work of Alex Thompson.
But did you see, and I think this is coming from that fight book, that I guess Tim Walz and Kamala were just shocked on election night that the election turned out the way that it did, that they were not prepared for that.
I think Democrats at the end of the election were telling themselves stories. You know, they talked themselves into these things like, oh, the Puerto Ricans in Pennsylvania are mad. Oh, the pollsters in Iowa say, you know, Trump is collapsing. Oh, we have Beyonce. Oh, we have Taylor Swift. You know, I mean, they told themselves stories, anything to sort of change their focus from the true issues in the race. People were mad about inflation. They were mad about the economy. They were mad about immigration. All the things they were doing in October were just gimmicks to try to sort of lurch from one news cycle to the next. It was never real, but they started to believe it. And look, I've known a lot of candidates who were surprised on election night. I certainly was not surprised at the outcome of the race. I thought Trump was going to win. He did win. It didn't take all that long on election night. And I also think that kind of, you know, attitude shows you just how out of touch with the American people they were. They live in a bubble. And in their bubble, I'm sure they were quite popular, but among the population at large, not so much.
All right, now the tough, uncomfortable conversation. You sent a text this morning with the 2025 team ERAs, and on the text with the tweet that you sent, I didn't even see the St. Louis Cardinals. You had to press the tweet because we're last at 6-1-8, below the Brewers, below the Athletics, below Cleveland. Well, really below everyone, Jennings.
I'm shocked because I guess coming into the season, I was concerned we weren't going to hit, but the pitching might be good. I was worried we were going to lose a bunch of, you know, games like 3-1, 4-2, and instead we're losing all these games. We're scoring runs and we're still losing. And so it's wild to me that we're hitting the way we're hitting. But man, this pitching staff right now is rough, and I don't know if they think it's a short-term blip here and it could stabilize. But man alive, we're giving up a lot of fireworks out there right now. This series in Boston was, yikes.
It was brutal. Have you seen the stadium, though? Have you seen Busch Stadium? I mean, we look like Pittsburgh or, you know, Cincinnati this time of year.
It's awful. And you know, I as a lifelong Cardinals fan and somebody who wants to see the team do well, it breaks my heart because you used to turn on the TV and seeing the stadium full no matter what. And now the fans are obviously unhappy with the state of affairs. But this team, on the bright side, has some really good young hitters, obviously. And you know, these guys are playing hard. Well, you just really hope the pitching improves a little bit because it's gonna be a long season if we're giving up 6-7 runs.
We gotta stay positive because there's a lot of baseball left, and I need the entertainment. Our mutual friend Joe Arnold remains the eternal optimist. I don't know about that, Jennings.
I'm asking the White House to levy 104% tariffs on the Chicago Cubs immediately. I want them tariffed.
I love
into
it.
Oblivion.
tell your boy Axelrod that for sure.
Oh, he texts me every day. So early in the season, I was texting him the standings. Now every night I get a little chart of the standings from Axe. And so I'm about to block his number. I'm sick of getting it. I need the Cardinals to win a couple of games here because I hate getting these charts from Axelrod. It's driving me crazy.
I don't blame you. All right, Scott. Hey, thank you so much. As always, you have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well,
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.